Welcome to Fraud Talk, the ACFE's monthly podcast. I'm Mandy Moody, and I would like to welcome LaDonna Wernley today. She is the Director of Human Resources at the ACFE, and today we're going to talk about some practical tips for finding a job. We get asked frequently at the ACFE, online and in person at our events, for recommendations or tips or secrets, how to get a job, how to get a job fast, how to find a job maybe when you're fresh out of college or just upon earning your CFE credential. So I thought it might be a great idea to have LaDonna on. So welcome today, LaDonna.
Thank you.
And let's just dive right in. I think one thing that people get discouraged about is that maybe they're doing something wrong. You know, maybe, oh, did I miss something on my resume? Did I send an email too fast to check and see how things are going? What is one of the biggest misconceptions that you see or hear about when searching for a job? Is there something you see people do over and over again that maybe could be done differently?
I think one of the biggest misconceptions is that we're holding on to past practices. And those past practices include researching a job board and then automatically sending a cover letter and a resume to random positions or any position that sounds like it might relate to our job skills. Not the most effective way to job search. I think one of the things that is a huge misconception today is that LinkedIn is not a necessity, and it is definitely a necessity in the job search. It is critical that not only do you can absolutely apply for positions, you can absolutely send your cover letter and resume and go the traditional job board route, but in addition to that, a portion of your job search should be committed to finding a contact within the organization that you would like to work. It is critical to have someone that can vouch for you. The majority of jobs, we've said this over and over, the majority of jobs today are filled by referrals. They're not filled by applying to a job board.
So you mentioned LinkedIn as being a necessity, a must-do. You know, how have you seen that landscape change? Because, you know, back when I was applying for a job, that is all you did, was you did a cover letter, you did a resume, and you were done. And I remember I'd send 10 to 15 a day and call it a day. So now you've got LinkedIn, you've got social media, so people can kind of vet you before they even ask you to come in for an interview. So because there's so much information already out there, how do you get an insider? How do you make that contact? Do you reach out to them on LinkedIn? Do you connect with them that way? Do you try to go to an event, a networking event of some sort? How do you make those contacts?
I think all of the above. Reaching out to someone via LinkedIn, sometimes I think you should take a more subtle approach, and maybe you go through your current contact list, people that you know and that can vouch for your work experience and your work product. First, see if you know anyone, past employee, a current employee, or someone who is connected to someone else in that organization. And ask not for them to vouch for you, but for them to either assist you with marketing yourself to the organization and or give you an introduction, someone that might be able to set up an introduction for you. I would peruse my contact list and start that way. Secondly, is networking. Face-to-face networking is powerful. Volunteering, networking within a shared community is a powerful way to meet other people from all different types of industries, and someone that can vouch for your character and can vouch for not necessarily your work product, but your character and your commitment to community. All of those areas are ways to network.
Do you recommend, as someone who's looking for a job, would you recommend going after a position or going after a company that you might like? Or do you think people do both?
I think people do both, but I think it also depends on the desperation level. What I see is that when someone is more, a little bit more desperate to find a position, that they might tend to apply to a variety of positions without truly researching the cultural fit of the company, the proximity to their, you know, home, whether or not the job really aligns with their skill set. I think when you are doing a job search and you're not, it's on your terms, I think you might move in a direction that is more aligned with the company and do the research on the company and the position. I think when you market yourself, it's critical to market yourself for a position. It's not necessarily because you know your skill set and you know which positions you're going to be successful in.
I think a trend that we've been seeing is the use of a headhunter or a recruiter. I've heard people tell me, I have to get a recruiter, or I have to work with a recruiter. I have to. That's how people are getting jobs now. Can you kind of define what that is? Because for some people, they don't even really know what that is. If they're doing it old school with a cover letter and a resume, why would you even work with a third party? So tell me what that is, and then how important is it to work with one or to make sure they know who you are and build that relationship?
I think the term headhunter and recruiter are used interchangeably. In the past, we saw headhunters that worked for both the employer and headhunters that worked for individuals to help them find and place them within positions. That term headhunter is really outdated, so let's just use the term recruiter. Recruiters work for, the majority of recruiters are contracted with the employers. They're contracted with companies and firms to place individuals in specific positions. I would steer clear of anyone who is going to charge you a fee to find you a job, because they are going to be using the same methodology that you're going to be using. They don't have contracts with employers. Employers normally pay the fees. So if you are being asked as an individual to pay a placement fee, I would steer clear of that. It's not a common practice today. It's important to be connected with recruiting firms if you are on an active job search, to send your resume, to make sure that they know who you are, to link into a variety of different recruiting firms so that you are in their database. Recruiters oftentimes can present you with an opportunity at a time where you're not necessarily looking for a position, but the opportunity really aligns with what your skill set is. They've kept your information available, and oftentimes those opportunities can be great ones. They're not really expected.
So that's news to me about the recruiting. You know, back when the last time I looked for a job, I didn't really know what a recruiter was or even how to work with one. Another question that comes up pretty frequently with us, and I know that this will sound very familiar to you, because we do require experience even to get our certified fraud examiner credential, is when people are just fresh out of college or even getting their master's, or they're switching careers, going from, you know, accounting to law or vice versa, there's the experience required on a lot of job postings. So how do you get past that, or do you get past that if you don't have the experience yet, but then you need someone to throw you a limb so you can get the experience? And we hear this a lot, especially from our younger members, is I don't have experience, but no one's willing to give me experience. So where do you start with that?
One of the best resumes I've ever seen came from a college student who was looking for an internship. She happened to be the treasurer at one point of her sorority, and under her experience, she put treasurer of XYZ sorority. And she outlined those skills that she used while she was in the position of treasurer. She articulated that she had accounting acumen, bookkeeping acumen, fundraising acumen, project management acumen, all as being a part of this sorority and serving in the role of treasurer. In addition to that, she had volunteer, and she was a volunteer organizer for Habitat for Humanity. And through that, she outlined her recruiting capabilities. She outlined her project management capabilities and her management capabilities, all as part of a volunteer opportunity. So the key is you've got to be able to translate skill sets that employers need within the position, and you have to be able to translate that from your past experience. I've seen resumes where stay-at-home moms have talked about scheduling and organizing and fundraising and volunteer organizing, and all of those are skills that employers want. The key to a resume is not to outline all of your past experience, but it's to give an employer a reason to hire you. So outlining the skills that would be beneficial in their firm is critical.
I think something a lot of people might do as well is, and I did this for a long time when I was younger because I was simply lazy, but is sending the same resume or the same cover letter, the same message on LinkedIn over and over to different companies and different people. And, you know, it took me a while to learn that, you know, maybe you need to customize these. These are different roles. These are different people. How important do you think that is?
I don't necessarily think that a resume needs, if the resume really speaks to your skills and your accomplishments, not necessarily your job functions at your past employers, but speaks to the accomplishments in each of your last roles, then I don't think that you need to regularly update your resume. A cover letter is another thing. I'm not going to read your resume if your cover letter didn't catch me, period. What I want to see in your cover letter is a reason to look at your resume. And so your cover letter really is more of it's a billboard. It should be an example of why we should hire you, what you plan to bring to our organization. And then, and ultimately, in finding that in a cover letter, we'll want to take the next step and read your resume.
What is one secret weapon you would give someone who is beginning a job search? What is one thing that they should definitely get right or pull out or...
And a rock solid LinkedIn profile. One that has a powerful summary of who you are and what you can offer an organization, that has the entire work history filled out in its entirety with dates, education. There's even a place for special interests. You can, opportunities that you're seeking. The LinkedIn profile is it's a quick way for an employer, prospective employer, to vet you. And the effort that you put into your LinkedIn profile is important. I really foresee the traditional resume and cover letter going away. I foresee we've gotten to a point in our society that you can actually apply for positions with one click of a button on LinkedIn, apply with your profile.
Wow.
It's that easy and it's that quick. And if it's that easy for candidates to apply to positions, ultimately it reduces the work on the recruiting side of things, and they're going to be the ones that are going to drive the process. And trust me, no one wants 250 resumes and cover letters in paper form or email format. Yeah. For one position.
What was your first job, and how do you think that job reflects what you do now? How do you think it may have prepared you for your role, if at all? you know, who knows?
My first job was in the retail industry. I worked for JCPenney in the home fashions department. It's the home furnishings, home goods.
And how old were you?
I started there 5 days after I turned 16, and I worked there until I was 20. I believe that everybody should have one stint at working with the general public, whether it's in hospitality, food service, retail. Working with the general public gives you an appreciation of working with a diverse customer base, a diverse co-worker base. I think that working in retail really prepared me to work with management styles of all sorts of management styles, all sorts of generational,
different age groups.
But working with the general public, I think, prepared me to do what I do now, and that is work with people from all backgrounds and work in a positive, productive manner.
You were there in college? You stayed? And why did you leave? Was it time?
It was retail. No, I ended up going to a commission-based position because I realized, wow, I can work fewer hours and earn, you know, and be a little bit more in charge of my earning potential. And so I took that opportunity.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. But continued to work in the retail industry throughout college.
I want to kind of summarize what we talked about. First and foremost, create a LinkedIn profile if you don't already have one and fill it out completely. Include your photo, your past experience, your past positions, and a quality summary that gives people insight into who you are and what you're about and what you're looking for. Also, use the contacts you have or may have. You may even have contacts you don't know about. Go through your LinkedIn, go through your friends and family. Use those contacts and see if there might be connections there that you don't know about or the ones that you do, and use those to your advantage. And also, we want to remember that when working with a recruiter, it's really important to know that recruiters are most likely working for companies. And it's probably not going to be in your best interest to pay somebody to help you find a job. You have all the tools you need to do that on your own. And lastly, in regards to experience, translate any experience you already have onto paper or onto a screen. As you mentioned, you might have experience somewhere volunteering or at your church or, as you mentioned, in a sorority. Use those skills that you have gained in those places and communicate them in a way that says, here's what I would bring to a position. Here is how this would work for your company and for that position that I'm applying for. And, you know, we've all had our first jobs. I think we can all learn at least some humility from it and to take that into your role, but also to look at those skills that you first had when you first started out. You know, working with people, working with different types of people. You know, it's just like your neighbors. You don't get to choose your neighbors. You don't get to choose your coworkers, you know. So learning how to navigate through the many different types of personalities that you will meet along the way is probably a priceless skill. So thank you, LaDonna, very much. And we hope that everyone listening got some very good takeaways and maybe you jotted down some notes. You can always send us your questions here at the ACFE. We have something called Ask the Expert at acfe.com. And it's also on acfe.com/careercenter, where you can find us. And we look forward to talking to you next month. This has been another episode of Fraud Talk, the ACFE's podcast, and we will talk to you soon.